At the moment, there are, we found that there are about 6,000 people still in asylum seeker accommodation who have status and who can kind of theoretically move on. And obviously, that has really big implications for the people who are arriving. So there are 1,900 people at the moment who can't be accommodated. And in part, that's because people are finding it difficult to move out because of the barriers that they're facing.
How long have they been there, or do you know?
So it really depends. So people are moving out. About 2,000 people left last year. So there is movement through, and it really kind of depends. But unfortunately, there's no mechanism to actually track this group. So we know that most people, only I think a small percentage, have been in there with status for more than 2 years. So people are eventually able to move out, but it takes quite a bit of time.
But many of them will have been there with or without status for a lot longer than that.
Yes, they will have. Yeah.
Is that one of the barriers that's making it hard for them to find housing outside?
Definitely. So the length of the process seems to be one of the problems, but also where they're accommodated is another one of the problems. So these are kind of the specific barriers. You know, there's a lack of long-term and strategic thinking about where accommodation centres are placed. So basically, if there's housing supply in those areas, if there's work opportunities and things like that. So because people are in the centre so long, they tend to, you know, have kids in school, they tend to start building communities and social networks and often have jobs near there. So if there isn't housing around those places, we found that that can be a barrier. But that really kind of the biggest barriers for this group were the same as everybody else. It's the housing crisis, a lack of properties within HAP rental limits, really long waiting lists for social housing and things like that.
So it's the same barriers they're facing trying to get rental accommodation as everybody else, but they're arguably more vulnerable because they're less well off.
Yes, so exactly. So they have the same barriers plus some. And there are other barriers too, like a lack of kind of awareness of their documentation or their rights and entitlements among frontline workers and local authorities, as well as then, you know, language barriers, a lack of information or knowledge about the system, a lack of social networks that could help them informally find housing, as well as then potentially sometimes a lack of employment, depending on where they are. A lot of them do work, but it really depends. And then, of course, discrimination on multiple grounds. That can be on their ethnicity, but also on language, on coming from IPAS accommodation or being a recipient of HAP, for example. We found they're all grounds they're being discriminated.
But there's no obligation or indeed incentive for them to leave direct provision, is that right?
They stop being entitled to direct provision once they receive their status. But IPAS and the Department of Children has a policy of not evicting them directly into homelessness accommodation because it's a very similar type of accommodation. But basically what has started to happen is that IPAS has put in place a lot more transition supports to help them out and kind of is trying to put pressure on them to leave, but then also are transferring them to emergency accommodation after 12 months for single people and 2 years for families, which is often in, you know, areas that are far away or in lower quality accommodation. And that often incentivizes people to engage more with the caseworkers and to try to find accommodation. But most people do want to leave. They want their own homes and kind of they want to start their lives.
This isn't a new scenario. Are there any improvements being made?
So yes, absolutely. And we saw that, you know, the number of people who moved on last year has increased from the year before. And we see that this year seems to be an even bigger increase. There's been quite a few policies put in place to support this group. So there's these targeted supports that the Department of Children has commissioned DePaul and Peter McVerry Trust, both homelessness NGOs, to provide specific supports to these people. And they've also put in place local authority integration teams, which is 4 permanently funded positions in every local authority, which could really help to kind of link these groups in with supports. And their job is to kind of support with integration and to link these groups into mainstream supports as well. So those are really big improvements.